Wow, I love that worship. Do y'all love the Lord? Well, let's tell him, Jesus, we love you, Lord. We are so thankful for you. We love you. We acknowledge you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you and acknowledge you. Father, thank you for your great plan. Thank you for building us, forming us, creating us, Lord, and giving us this world to live in. Thank you for your plan. Glorify yourself in us, Father, in Jesus' name. You know, I've been really thinking about this lately, that, you know, we can get so caught up into the busyness of our lives or the troubles in this world, but the fact that God even decided to create us. He was perfectly fine without us. I want to let you know, he was not in some kind of lack or need without us. And he decided, he purposed in his heart to create everything that is so that we could be. It's taken everything that exists to make this world for us to be here. Nothing has escaped him. Nothing. There's nothing that he did not calculate happening. Now, he did say that even the evil that we do towards one another is worse than anything he could have imagined. We treat each other so badly. He did say that he didn't count on. But other than our evilness that we're capable of because of the influences around us, he did all this for us. So there must be a purpose that he decided before the foundations of the world, before he created anything, as to why you are here right now. You're not an accident. It's not just some by chance thing that you're here right now. You specifically are here right now for a purpose. We collectively are here right now for a purpose, but you specifically are. And, you know, as we've talked in the past, I guess we've started. The Holy Spirit's been given to each one of us. We all share in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, but he's also been individually given to you. And he portions out to each one of us, according to his will, how he wants to manifest through us. And that manifestation of him through us is what brings him glory in the world. What brings God glory in this world? Seeing us manifest his goodness through us in the world. And sometimes we get so caught up, and I say this a lot, but it just happens so frequently, that we think we're by ourselves out here, struggling along to try to do something right, or whether or not we're going to be good enough or approved enough, or all these troubles that we come up with that kind of separate us from the knowledge of God. And I try my best to just reaffirm each and every time I'm up here that we are never without him. And he will always, always manifest through you and to you. But there's a part that we have to do, and that is to stay in relationship with God. It's really that simple. We have to choose to stay in that relationship with God. If you got your Bibles, let's look at a few things, okay? There should be a Bible in front of you if you don't have one. And most likely, if I don't jump around too much, the verses will be up on the screen also if you need them. But I'm going to jump around. So let's talk about Jesus for a minute. Go to Acts 10:38. In Acts 10:38, it's talking about Jesus. This is when Peter's visiting Cornelius, his household, and the Holy Spirit's being poured out on the Gentiles. And this is Peter talking, and he's sharing. And it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. So, stop. So whatever Jesus is about to do is because he was anointed with the Holy Spirit, right? Not because he existed before the foundations of the world and became the embodiment of God in a man. That's not why what's going to follow happened. And I think that sometimes we need to really let that settle in our heart. He gave up his deity to become a man, and he limited himself to the criteria of a man. Now, so everything he did on this earth, he did through the anointing by the Holy Spirit, not because he was Almighty God in the body of a man. And we need to get that so that we can see ourselves in these roles. Because it's very easy to think, well, he was God. He can do that. But listen, he had to be the living embodiment of what you and I can do. Now, he was given the fullness of the Spirit. So all the gifts of the Holy Spirit flowed through him evenly at any moment. Okay, so the fullness of the Holy Spirit was given to him. So whatever the Holy Spirit would manifest in his nine gifts and his other gifts, Jesus had all that working in him. You and I don't necessarily all the time have all the gifts working in us. So as the Holy Spirit divvies it out to you and I, by what we are able to believe God for, not by he's not going to give you the word of wisdom because he can't trust you with it, because, you know, if you'll just start shooting off your mouth to anybody, that's not how it works. It's as you are willing to yield yourself, believing God, he will manifest through you in whatever you need at the time. But this says, now how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. So he qualifies this by Jesus in his fellowship with God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and power went around with a purpose to do good. Are you with me? And healing all who were sick. Is that what it says? Oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. So God was with him, the Father, and the Holy Spirit were with Jesus, and he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So there's been people in the Bible where Jesus cast out demons, right? So we can say that was an oppression by the devil because it was a spirit that he cast out. But it seems that Jesus, if you're using this statement that Peter is saying right here, that pretty much all sickness is demonically influenced, if you're using this verse. Is that a stretch for you guys? It might be, it might not be. There might be sicknesses that have nothing to do with demonic influence or the curse of this world. I don't try to separate them. I look at them all as they've got to go. They all got to go. It's not God's best. My philosophy is if they don't have it in heaven, I don't want it on earth. Just as simple as that. If they don't have it in heaven, I don't want it on earth. Now, am I a pro at that? No, but I'm moving towards it. I'm moving towards it. So let's talk about you and me for a second. Go with me to 1 John chapter 2. verse 27. Says, it's up on the screen, but the anointing which you have received from him, where is it? But the anointing which you have received from him, says, abides in you. So the anointing of God lives in you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in it. Right? Doesn't it say in it? It says in him. So this anointing that abides in you isn't like this magic potion or substance. It's a person, the Holy Spirit of God. And he's going to teach you the truth. And he doesn't lie to you. But he abides in you. Is that true? The Bible says it's true. And it's really important that we read our Bible. Go with me to John chapter 8. I think Pastor Trey taught on this one not too long ago. Jesus was in a discord talking to them about the Father. They couldn't quite grasp it, having real trouble with it. And in verse 30 it says, as he spoke these words, many believed him, as he's talking about he and the Father are one. And then in 31 he goes on to say, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. So they've only just heard this stuff, but they're believing Jesus as he's speaking to them. And he says this to these Jews who believe him. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. So in other words, if you live in the things that I'm telling you, you will be my disciple. You will be transformed to be like me. You'll become just like me. A disciple is not greater than his master, but he can do the same things that his master can do or his teacher can do. So if you and I dwell in the words of Jesus, we'll be able to do the things that he does. Look at the next verse. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'm going kind of slow and methodical here because I'm setting this foundation that I want to be really strong, that we stand on, that we can really get this settled inside of me, that you are absolutely packed with the full power of God. Absolutely. You don't have to work for it. It's a gift given to you. And it can never be taken away from you. It's like money. Once it's yours, it's yours. And you decide how you spend it. But if you don't want to spend none of it, then you don't have to. So this freedom that we're going to experience, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. How many of you have heard that say? The truth shall make me free. Some people say, set me free. Hallelujah. I hear the truth. I'm going to be free. Well, that truth is what Jesus is saying. And if you can hear what Jesus is saying, and you can hold that in your heart as the way you live is being living by the Word of God, then you will hear the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So who is the truth? Go ahead, shout it out. You know the answer. Jesus. He says, I am the truth. Doesn't he say that? I am the truth. And he's the way, and he's the life. And nobody can come to the Father except by him, right? That's it. We get that down. So by the Spirit of God, who is the anointing, who abides in us, that if we dwell with him and listen to how he leads us, we will not only be set free, but we will be able to go around and do good and heal all who are oppressed of the devil. Yes or no? Yes. He says it again in Luke 4, 18 and 19. Go to your Bibles and look. It's in your Bible too. This is Jesus coming on the scene. And it's very important that we don't think that Jesus came in the deity of God from birth, knowing what he was to do. He had to grow in wisdom and stature also. And it's through his relationship with God that the revelation of who he really is was returned to him. And then he can walk in it. You got 18 up there too, my sister? You don't? Where did I tell you to go? Matthew, Mark. I told you to go to Luke, right? Luke 4. I'll just read it. This is Jesus talking. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Who anointed Jesus? The Spirit of the Lord. It's the same person that anoints you and me to preach the gospel to the poor. So that's what we get to do. We get to preach the good news to the poor. Who are the poor? Do you think it's the people that don't have money? Good. Good. Because, you know what? We say these things all the time. Oh, poor you. Oh, poor you. Are we saying you don't have any money? No, we're saying, oh, pathetic you. Oh, squee-weeing you. So the poor is anyone who thinks they don't have what they need. Anyone that thinks that, oh, I don't have what I need. That's the poor. They don't have their supply. So he preaching the good news to the poor. And he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So you can go around doing good by healing brokenhearted people. And proclaim liberty to the captives, that people can actually be free. We're not saying everybody gets out of jail, the real physical building of a prison, no, but those who are enslaved in their own hearts, in their own minds, in the wounds from their past, and the recovery of sight to the blind. There's two kinds of seeing. There's physical eyeballs, and then there's seeing yourself as different. There's a seeing that can see you differently than the way you see yourself right now. Remember Adam and Eve? Did you know they were walking through the garden blind? They were bumping into trees and rocks and falling into the water. It was terrible because the Bible says that when they ate the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, then their eyes were opened. So they must have been blind before that, right? They must have been, because their eyes didn't even get open until they ate of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. That's what the Bible says. Am I just being silly right now? Yes. So there's an opening of your eyes that isn't necessarily looking through these eyeballs. There's an opening of your eyes. And so we can restore sight to the blind. Some people are so bound up in the way that they see themselves and the way they've lived on the planet and how they've been classed in this world that they can't see themselves as different than that. But you, by the love and the grace of God and the anointing that abides in you, can paint a new picture for them to see and set them free. And then physical eyeballs also. Set at liberty those who oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus proclaimed all these things, so can you. So, I really love this part about the Word. If you abide in His words. And I used to think, you know, Jesus, I'm going to uncover myself and show my ignorance. I'll tell you an ignorant story I did once. This is true, I did this. And you guys are going to catch on way before I get done with the story. It's short. So I'm in the Dominican Republic on a missions trip, okay? We started in Haiti for a week, and then I went 5 weeks in the Dominican Republic. And we're helping people out and praying and all these kinds of wonderful things, just loving the Dominican Republic. And I'm in a church in the Dominican, and they're all singing. And as they're singing, the glory of God just started filling the room. I was very aware of the presence of God in this room. I'm going to embarrass myself. And I said, Holy Spirit, you're here in the Dominican Republic. And he says to me so sweetly, he goes, I am everywhere, you know. I don't know why, I just didn't put two and two together, but it just was so, some way I thought they were more impoverished in some capacity, you know, and so I naturally had American thinking, you know, we get it all, but they don't. And it's just, it was in me, and he was so sweet in the way he revealed it to me. He's everywhere. He says, I'm everywhere, you know. And it was so nice the way he said it. So sometimes I forget that the Holy Spirit is not only everywhere, but involved in everything that I will let him be involved in, that I will include him in. Are you with me? So as these words that Jesus is saying, that my word, I used to get hung up on the fact, well, Jesus isn't here anymore, so all I've got is the red. All I've got is the red, and I have to find it in the book, or I can't. So I have to abide in the red, and if I abide in the red will set me free. And I know none of you think that way, but I did. That I have to find it in here or it can't set me free. And if I abide in here, it will. Do you know that Jesus had the whole Old Testament, the 100% of the Old Testament, when he was walking on the earth? Every bit of it. He had it. And he didn't say, if you abide in the books of Moses. He didn't say, if you abide in Jeremiah or Isaiah or Nehemiah. He didn't say that. He said, if you abide in my words. And so I kind of go, wow, okay. So then it's your words. Well, I just kept looking a little further. I want to show you a couple of things that you already know, but it doesn't trouble me at all to remind you of it. I'm really enjoying this. So look in John chapter 14. Ready? I'm going to show something to you that you probably haven't seen before. I can start in verse 6, and we're going to work our way down. Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he can actually say, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. He's pretty emphatic about that statement. It says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me? Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So what's he saying right here? We're going to go on, but just hold your place there in verse 9. What's he saying right there? That if we've seen Jesus, we've seen the Father. So is he saying that the Father is manifesting himself through Jesus, and it's not Jesus that you see, but it's the Father? Or is he saying that I have so much laid down my own personal life and denied myself so much that the person you see in front of you is a carbon copy of the Father? The way I live my life is the way the Father is. I'm showing you physically and talking to you and demonstrating to you exactly the way the Father is. So if you want to know what the Father's like, get to know me. You think he's kind of saying that? Me too. So Jesus is saying that I have so modeled my life, been so integrated with the Father. Don't speak on my own. I really just model the Father in everything I'm doing. It's not my will, it's his will. You know that's in the Bible, right? Garden of Gethsemane. So Jesus is saying that I have purposed that my existence on the earth is to glorify the Father and not myself. Can you agree with that? Let's move on. Verse 9. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. That word authority is not in there. So it says, I do not speak on my own. But the Father who dwells in me does the works. So what he's saying right now is, you guys, that I have so yielded myself to the Father that I only say what he says. I only do what he does. And so he is manifesting himself through me. He's doing the works. I've yielded myself, and he's doing those works through me. Can you guys agree with that? So he's basically become a glove. And he's let the Father's hand come into him. And he's resigned himself to take whatever shape or form that the Father's hand wants to move, the glove follows. Can we say that? So Jesus is saying that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. We're so woven together that it's him who you see, who is speaking to you, and who is here doing these works. Can we agree that's what he's saying? Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe for the sakes of the works themselves. In other words, back up, he's saying this. Listen, if you're having a hard time with the fact that I said because you see me, you see the Father, or that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, if you're having a hard time with that, then let the works prove it's true, because you guys know no man can do these things. A man can't do the stuff I'm doing. So let the stuff that I'm doing that no man can do know, prove to you that it's God doing it through me. Can you guys accept that? That's what he's saying. So he's letting the works confirm who he is in his relationship with the Father. 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, in other words, the works that the Father is doing through me, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. So, let me read on just a little bit more. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. 14, and if you ask anything in my name, that I will do. Anything in my name, I will do it. So he's saying this, that everything that I'm doing, if you'll ask it in my name, I'll do it for you also. Everything the Father's doing through me, all the works that I'm doing, you'll do them too, because you're going to do it in my name. Jesus came to glorify the name of the Father. He never spoke Yahweh or Jehovah. He just did it. He proved the name of the Father by the way he lived his life. So he glorified the Father by resigning himself to just do what the Father says and listen to him and follow him as he leads him. And if we will be in Jesus' names, he'll do the same things, because now he's going to go to the Father physically, so there'll be even more closeness, if you can imagine that, and oneness with the Father than he had before being on the earth. So there's going to be even a greater revelation of the Father to Jesus as he goes and be's with him. So there's even going to be greater things that he'll manifest through us. And that greater might be more dramatic or powerful or miraculous, but it also might be more in volume because there's more of us to do it. And so by the sheer numbers of us, we'll be able to do greater than he did as one person doing everything of the lives that he touched. But there's a connection here that he is making on this consistent linking of not your sovereign identity, but my identity being manifested through you. This word, do it, I will do it, it's a cool word, and I don't even want to pretend it. It's like paeo, okay? I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. It's simple, but it's beyond me at the moment. But you know this word, do it, that it says in all of these verses, it's that same word, paeo. It actually means to create it. I'll create it. I'll make it. So whatever you say, I'll make it. I'll create it. Listen, that takes the stopper out of the bottle. That knocks down the fence. That bulldozes the walls. That removes the boundaries and limitations. Because we are the ones that put those limitations on God, not him putting them on us. And so he said, and like this, suppose I need a chicken coop in my backyard. Okay? I'm Jesus in this example. And my wife is a regular person who's one with me. And she will say this, I need a chicken coop in the backyard. Make it. And I go, make it? She says, yes, just do it. She doesn't even think about what it takes to make this chicken coop and what these chickens need. She just knows she needs a chicken coop for chickens so she can have eggs. Okay? That's all she's thinking about. And so she does this. She expects when she tells me to go do it, that I not only create what is not there, I arrange everything that's necessary for it to be in place. And she takes none of the responsibility for creating what did not exist in that portion of my backyard. Are you with me? She just says, do it, make it, create it, form it, fashion it, whatever word you want to use. What doesn't exist, I need it to exist. Are you with me? That's do it. If it doesn't already exist, he'll create it. Listen, that you have to take the limitations off of God here. You got to really take it up. He's not using how you see it to make it happen. You got to understand that. My wife does not know how to make a chicken coop or all of the crazy things she's asked me to do for her. She says, well, don't you just get some boards and nails? I love this part. She says, don't you just get some screws and nail it together? And I go, those two words just don't go, they just don't go together. She just doesn't really get it. You know, you saw some wood and you nail some screws. I'm not trying to slight my wife at all. I'm trying to make the point that she has no idea of what it takes to pull it off. We're not going by how she sees it. She's trusting and believing in me to make it happen. Are you with me? So if she leaves it up to her mind on how I do it to pull it off, she'll be frustrated as all get out because she can't conceive where she's at in her training, teaching, experience, and skill level to know how to do these things she asks me to do. That's my domain, okay? The miracles are not your domain. The manifestation of the Spirit is not your domain. It's his domain. We got to let his mind be the one that figures it out. Are you with me? All you need to know is say, do it. Make it happen. This is very liberating what he's saying right here. He's taking it off of you and me and placing it squarely on himself and the Father. If you ask, that word ask is aletheo. It's 154 in the Greek. I teach you guys this all the time. It is strictly a demand. Strictly. It's the only way it's being used. And it's all the asks that God tells us to ask him for. It's not a request, a favor. Do me a favor, Lord. It's not do me a favor. Because I'll tell you what, I don't make a chicken coop for my wife because she needs a favor from me. No. I might not want to give her that favor. I'm not God. I'm a selfish single man, you know, individual. So I don't do it because I'm her friend. I don't do it because it's a favor. I do it because she says, do it. I need it. Make it happen. Right? That's a demand. That's not commanding me to do it. It's letting her know that I'm her husband, and it is my desire for her to have the things that she needs to do what she needs to do. So she's not pulling rank on me by saying, do it. She is simply knowing that I've already provided to her the whole relationship part, that I will do whatever you need as long as I'm capable of doing it because I love you. So that, because she knows that provision is available for her, she taps into it with her honey-do list all the time. Okay? So with Jesus and the Father, it's the same thing. It's not, she doesn't ask me to do it because she's looking for an answer to a question. She's not doing it because something's hidden and needs to be revealed. She doesn't ask me to do it because there's an urgent need and she's got to have it right now. Well, if you got to have it right now, you might not get a chicken coop. You might get a cardboard box with a couple holes in it. Truthfully, if you need it right now, okay? So this ask is something that he's already said you're allowed to have, and so now you ask him for what you're entitled to. He says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it, or I will make it happen. Go with me again just a little bit further to verse 6, chapter 16. So, Jesus, well, it says in 14 and all that we're going to get the Comforter, we're going to get the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be with us and in us. You guys all know that, right? So I don't have to elaborate on those verses. So we've received the Holy Spirit now, and he's come. Is that all true? You guys are with me? If it's not, let me know, and I'll back up. Okay, so in verse 13 of chapter 16, look at this. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, again, it's the truth that makes us free, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not, what? Speak on his own authority, but its own, period. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So let's picture this a little further. God made us for a reason. He created everything that exists with this purpose in mind, so that you and I could exist, not to suffer, grow old, and die, and someday in heaven have a good life. What's, just forget the whole earth part. Just put it straight into heaven, Lord, and forget the whole earth part if it's got to be bad. There's got to be some other reason you did this, Lord. So he says, I have denied myself so thoroughly and spent my time being with the Father and getting to know the Father and sharing his personality, his ways of doing things, his thought process with all of you, that if you see me, you've seen him. I so imitate him that I'm literally him on the earth to you. Because there's no difference. I won't tell you anything of my own. I'll only tell you what he says. And he does the works through me. I'm so resigned to him. He does it through me in the earth. Now I'm going to go and be with him and even know more of who he is. But don't worry, I'm not leaving you all alone. I'm sending the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will not only be with you, he will be in you. And he is not going to do anything differently than I did. He's not going to speak what he thinks needs to be done. He's going to say what I say. What he hears me tell him, now that I'm with the Father, now we're really in a oneness that I didn't even know existed while I was on the earth. And I'm in such a capacity of oneness with the Father that now we are going to speak to him. And he's going to speak those words to you. Now you can hear that anointing that's in you. And if you will abide in those words, you will be set free. Because you'll know the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, who is the truth. And it will, because you listen to us and follow us, you will be set free. You will know the truth, and it will make you free. Are you with me? So as you continue in that relationship with him, denying yourself, preferring him, listening for him, keeping your own ideas to yourself, letting him be the one that sparks the way to do it, and listen and follow that, then he does the works. Are you with me? Let's just dwell on this for a minute because we're close to the end here. So when we get out of fellowship with God, or tell ourselves that we don't understand it, or we don't get it, or it's too high for us, what we're doing is we're cutting ourselves off instead of just yielding to the Holy Spirit to talk to us and tell us what He wants to take place. And as we yield ourselves to Him and let Him tell us what He wants to take place, it will manifest through us in the world around us. And you get set free in the process. I got a little example that I heard, and I've stolen it for years. So now I don't even need to give the guy credit anymore. But it's this. The inside of the hose can't help but get wet when the water flows through it. So you can't help but get healed and set free as the Holy Spirit is manifesting through you. Are you with me? So is there anything that we've read in the Bible that says that you're alone? You're dealing with this on your own. And you're here dealing with it, and God's out there somewhere, and you need to beckon to Him. It says that whatsoever thing you say, as you're in fellowship with God, your words will be His words. You'll say what He says, and you'll get His results. Some of us need to figure out how to magnify the voice of God in our lives. How do I really get the confidence that He's talking to me personally? He's leading me personally. It's His anointing in me. And it's because I'm denying myself and setting my own preferences aside and letting Him say what He wants to do, because He promised to give us life and life more abundantly. John 10:10. And that abundant life, that river of living water, that spring that bubbles up and overflows, those heavenly spiritual words that come out of us, it's all being yielded to Him, glorifying Him, worshiping Him. And as we do, it's the presence of God that fills the room and not the presence of Robert or the presence of any y'all. Are you with me? And that's really worshiping God in everything that you're doing, because you're bringing glory to Him by letting Him be manifested through you in everything that you're doing. Are you with me? And the more we do that, the more we'll see our body responding to it, and we'll see the love and the joy that starts manifesting through us to other people, because the fruit of that relationship is what? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, self-control, patience. All those things are in us, manifesting through us by God working through us, right? When I don't let that happen, when my flesh rises up and I yield to the flesh, and I let the flesh start getting its foothold as my lead person, in other words, who I say I am, and I let that carnal identity of being just a flesh and blood person, then the world starts telling me, and my feelings start telling me, and my past keeps reminding me, and all of those things, those are the words I'm listening to, then those are the manifestations I'm going to get. And I stumble, and I act a fool, and I do things I regret, because I forgot who I was in Christ by not staying in that relationship. So I just encourage all of y'all, really bloom your relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to finish with this. It's not what God can do for you. It's how much can you yield yourself to God. It really is. I used to think it was trying to get something from God, for Him to get it to me that I didn't have. And He showed me, He says, son, it's not me getting it to you. And I just saw these pictures of these drapes, big, heavy, shaded drapes. You know the kind that keeps the sun out? And He just pulled the cord, and the drapes came open, and there was the glory of God. So it's not a matter of me getting something I don't have. It's me letting what He's giving me shine through. And He's got to go through my soul, through my mind, through my rational way of thinking, through my traditional ideas of who I am. And it's got to come from my spirit through all of that to manifest to you all. So those are the things I need to deny. All my old traditions, the way I was raised, all the ways that I have limited who God is and how He can manifest through me. And I need to lay that all down and just let Him be Himself. Are you with me? I hope this word encouraged you. I'm going to pray. Father, I just thank You for the Word of God. I thank You for who we are in You, that before You did anything, Lord, to create substance of any kind, You had us in mind. You knew every single one of us and made it so that we can be provided for by You, Lord. So, Father, I just thank You and give You all the praise and all the glory that we would yield ourselves and resign ourselves to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as the anointing that abides within us to teach us all things concerning truth, Father, and that we can live the truth and the truth can make us free. In Jesus' name, amen.